trust which gave discretion with regard to the beneficiaries. You may recall that Don Jones had died, and under the terms of an absolute trust, his estate would have been the beneficiary had Mary subsequently died, as could have been the case in a road accident involving the two of them, or some other form of major disaster. There are always tax implications to any decision regarding the type and style of trust that is used in certain circumstances. However, for the average family with an average house and an average lifestyle, the tax implications of the trust become less important than the decision-making process of settling the trust in the first place. What Mary required was a specific trust in favour of Belinda, her daughter, but with the flexibility inbuilt to accommodate her possible remarriage, although Mary stated at the time of Don's death that remarriage was an extremely remote possibility. And of course, this is 15 years on that has proved to be the case. She's still a widow at home, living off the benefits of that original policy and looking after her daughter, having not remarried. Although a flexible trust, or interest in possession trust, as it is more popularly known, was created, it was not without its difficulties. Mary had read, on several occasions, that the trustees under any trust should always be younger than the life assured. That's the subject of the policy. And obviously this was to avoid the trustees predeceasing the life assured. Now, what would you advise in Mary's circumstances? Mary was aged 27, and her parents were middle-aged. As she was emotionally very close to her parents, they lived nearby, and they enjoyed a good relationship with their granddaughter. Now, the statement, trustees should always be younger than the life assured, is quite easily made, but what are your views on that statement? Should trustees always be younger than the life assured? And why? In the event of one of the grandparents dying before Mary, could the trustees, at that point, appoint someone else to act as a trustee with the surviving grandparent? Who would be the surviving trustees in the event of one grandparent dying? And who would make the appointment if it was necessary? Well, just switch off for a moment and jot down on a piece of paper who you think would be left. Who would be the surviving trustees? It's good to have you back. And let's look at mortality, or consider mortality, for Mary and her parents. Now, on the basis of the Government Actuary Department 96-98 tables, what is the probability of granddad or grandma dying before Belinda's 21st birthday, which is when the life insurance on Belinda's mother expires? Well, male mortality shows that there's a 12.97% chance of granddad predeceasing the end of the policy. For grandma, a mere 5.02% probability that she would expire before the policy does. Now, in broad terms, statistically, there's approximately a 17% chance of a male who is eligible to take ordinary premium life insurance at the age of 20, what we would term a select life, dying before the age of 65. Therefore, there has to be an 80% chance or better of granddad surviving to his 65th birthday and therefore to Belinda's 21st. Grandma, as we've seen, has even better odds because, as we know, statistically, the ladies have a better mortality experience than men do.